Nothing's going to stop.
Pulled all the stops.
Yes, pulled out all the stops. That's what I was going to say, too. 1985 is when we started, so that's the key phrase today. I can't see a clock. Have we started yet?
Yes, we have.
Oh, we have. Why didn't you tell me that, Jim? Isn't that part of your announcing duties to let me know we're on the air?
I believe I gave you the 10-second rundown.
The 10-second rundown? I'm sorry, what is that?
That's 10 seconds to go before the start of the show.
Oh, okay.
Then they turn the light on, and that's when we're...
Well, thank you. You've been very helpful.
Thank you.
In retrospect, I must say... Well, on this day in 1985, Dire Straits sang I Want My MTV continuously on MTV. At Live Aid, Bette Midler introduced Madonna as a singer who pulled herself up from her bra straps. Bill Gates introduced Windows 1.0 as the future of IBM personal computing. Coca-Cola reinvented old Pepsi as new Coke. Frank Zappa flummoxed Larry King on CNN. And the Dow Jones fell 6.5 points to 1,314.29. And an obscure public radio host asked the crowd in the several dozens, what do you know?
Welcome to an encore performance of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? From Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, Clyde Stubblefield on drums, with Jim Packard announcing. Support for What Do You Know? Comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. In this hour of What Do You Know, Michael's biggest fan and the 25th anniversary edition of the What Do You Know quiz.
Now, the man already planning the lavish 26th anniversary gala, Michael Feldman.
It's going to be a great time.
That 26th, I'm looking forward to. But what do you give someone for the 26th anniversary? Nothing.
No.
No. Nothing. Yes. 25 years has an air of finality about it, doesn't it? I'm a little bit sorry we're celebrating it, to tell you the truth, because it has a wake-like feel. You know, it's like going to your own wake. You never hear anybody saying, 26 years. People come to me and say, 25 years, I say, yeah. So, okay. It is the first time you can use a fraction of a century as a marker in your life. Quarter century. People do that, too. Say, quarter century. I want to say a quarter century. Why don't you say it to someone else, really? I don't really need to hear that. People tend to send you flowers on the 25th anniversary, enhancing the wake-like quality. When they send you the horseshoe ones, then you're in trouble. Geologically, it's insignificant, of course, compared to the Wisconsin age, which was 20,000 years, the ice age, the last ice age. So imagine the flowers you'd get for that. The Bering Land Bridge, of course, was the high point of that career, which allowed the Palins to cross over from Siberia. It's a good thing, though, when you realize the average radio gig is 18 months before they change formats, And if you're not, adult contemporary, then you're nothing at that point, so that's it. But if you stay on 18 months, I've always thought this, and it seems to be true, they forget to fire you. And you can stay on 25, 30, 50 years, not uncommon. Jim's been on the air 50 years. At least, isn't it, Jim?
55.
55 years on the air, yes. So I'm turning this over to Jim right now, because there's a lot more to celebrate than... But they don't celebrate 55 years, Jim.
Nope.
Well, it's been a juggernaut, what can I tell you? I built the modern comedy quiz industry that we know today in America. No brag, just fact. Without me, it would have been wait. And Click and Clack would never have been brothers without my show. If Groucho had lived, they would be comparing him to me, really, but that's just the way, and George Fenneman to Jim, of course, a closer comparison. We would have been, of course, the zany Feldman brothers, Clay, Howie, Art, and Mucko. But it wasn't to be, and everything happens for a reason, no matter how bad, you know what I say. So it's been a good career. From these humble beginnings, I have eaten brains in St. Louis, mountain oysters in Oklahoma, chitlins, I can't remember where because I've blocked it out. I piloted the Goodyear blimp over Akron. You know, that was, you may have noticed it was bucking because I couldn't remember. They say when the nose goes down, you either pull it back or push forward. And it's, I have this problem driving an automobile. I couldn't remember which it was. So remember, it was.
I do remember.
It was bucking over Akron. It was. And I drove down a 45-degree hill on the Hummer test track in South Bend behind Jim Packard, who refused to accelerate and was using his signals, ladies and gentlemen.
Safe driving.
It totally ruined the whole experience. It would have been a fabulous experience worth recounting. And then, of course, I stalled behind him in the submersion stream they have there. You actually drive underwater for a while. But Jim was parked. And in South Carolina, I took Clyde to a plantation.
Yes.
Few people can say that. Where they charged him $8 to get in, ladies and gentlemen. Getting out, priceless. So anyway, 25, remember Clyde? Yes, yes. He was going to swim on his way out. He was kind of scared. 25 years, what have we learned? Number one, never marry an audience member. Even if they claim to be your biggest fan, it's a sure way to lose a fan. Two, don't pick a fight with anybody named Garrison. A Gary, yes. Pick a fight with a Gary. Don't pick a fight with a Garrison. Simple rule to remember, easy to remember. Number three that I've learned over these years, don't badmouth the Met. Or do a parody of the Ring of the Nibelung. You know. Bugs Bunny can get away with it. You can. You know, that's. Don't sing, ever. Don't hum. Don't sing in Hebrew, English, nothing. Even if you're on stage at the Florida Theater, as you were in Jacksonville where Elvis first performed, don't launch into, won't you wear my ring up around your neck? See what I mean? Five, don't let Lyle Anderson, for all his many qualities, somehow become your driver on the road. He gets lost, and he drives like your wife. Fits and starts. And those little strokes he has all the time. Now his mother's going to call him and say, are you having strokes now? No, he's fine. Just kidding. Along with this, Jim never navigates.
No.
No, Jim has no sense of direction. And in that, he is male, I must admit. As a quiz master, finally, give away the answers if need be, because losing a quiz, even this one, is a downer. Give them the answer. The prizes aren't worth protecting anyway. So. And that's all we've learned, really, in 25 years. Oh, and avoid retrospectives. Ones where your whole career passes in front of you. Say you've been a pole climber with a utility company for 25 years. Great. Climb down. Have a beer. Celebrate. Don't review all the poles I have climbed, those I've declined to climb, those I've had hoped to climb. Beer and a shot, which the bartender should buy you at this point. A Jägermeister, whatever, you know. What you can do, however, is have a slideshow, and I do have my projector here. I think it's probably the last projector in public radio. My carousel, Kodak carousel, and it's when the bulb goes, it's done. Because you can't get bulbs for them anymore, and I do have a very short slideshow here for you. And this is my career in slides. Yeah, I'm serious. I can't do PowerPoint, so I had to. Okay. Let me just get this lined up here. Now, I hope this isn't blinding anyone up there in the balcony. Okay. All right. Here we go. Michael Feldman in slides. 25 years of Michael Feldman in slides. Here I am playing the saxophone on the Wabash Bridge over the Chicago River after my ill-fated WGN worst part of a year. Yeah, you turn around, you can see it better, I think. Can you see it? It would help to turn around. He turned around, Jim.
Yeah, I saw it.
Okay. Note the sign there, we'll host for food. Oh, in the trench coat there with a fedora pulled down is Jack Mitchell, erstwhile head of Wisconsin Public Radio, at our rendezvous at the Clock Museum in Rockford, where he met me halfway. Yes, the old Clock Museum. Jack's working there now, I think, actually. He's, I don't know what happened to him. Jack offered me the chapter a day concession to come back to WHA. I countered what I thought would be a preposterous idea. Live national call-in quiz with a live audience, live music. Jack said would be wrong. Let's do it. And I said, well, what do you know? You know? Yeah, thank you. Not now. Not now. Oh, here's a fledgling Jim Packard when he was still Jim St. John, cooking a can of beans over some errant coals on the railway siding there at a downturn in his already long radio career in south central Wisconsin. Here I mentioned that glint you see of a smile, I mentioned I might need an announcer. Okay. Oh, this is at NPR in Washington. I'm banging on the loading ramp door while an adolescent Ira Glass in the shipping room ignores me entirely. Fortunately, Susan Stamberg was able to do both voices for the interview, and she does a Jewish male great. And that kicked off What Do You Know on the network. This is the first broadcast of What Do You Know in Philo Buck's storage room in Vilas Hall. Next to me, with what appears to be a raccoon on his head, is Jim Packard, with his formerly wondrous shock of hair. I am, you might see there, if you look closely, wearing pantyhose and high heels in an attempt to push the public radio envelope. We are celebrating having gone national by adding Corpus Christi Friday nights at 10. And you can see a boyish John Tooling with his head on the piano there on the right. You can see him here, too. Okay. Oh, I don't know how that got in there. Or her name, I have no idea. I don't remember. Our first road show in Ames, Iowa, where unfortunately they didn't know we were coming. Jim was producing in those days, actually. That's how that happened. We had a pretty good crowd at the Cyclones Ag Arena, even if they were there for the heifer judging. Oh, here I am, a famous moment, changing little Ellie's diaper during a band break, only to discover that I had mistakenly used audience cards instead of wipes. Setback in my long career. This is Donut Gate. For a brief time, I led the Save the Donuts charge at Monona Terrace and became a saturated fat folk hero. This was unfortunately the height of my career was Donut Gate when I was identified with donuts. Here we have a priest, a rabbi, and a nun here doing an ecumenical dunk. The signs you can see in the background, when donuts are banned, only criminals and cops will have donuts. Take a flying leap at a rolling donut and so forth. For a while there, Feldman was synonymous with donuts. And yes, this is the last one, actually, I'd be happy to know. This is on our 20th anniversary bus tour, also known as Michael Palooza, where here, Clyde is there, you see him, trying to sell a CD to a donkey on the Moorhead Farm near Roanoke, Virginia, after 2.5 hours in a bus full of donated Wisconsin beer. So that accounts for some of that behavior, not all. The former Stephen Cologne, our engineer, can be seen in the background jogging through a pack of feral dogs, or perhaps coyotes. Stephen left the show shortly after that. That's the end of the slide, since we went digital at that point, but thank you so much. For the ultimate slideshow. And now for 25 years of all the news that wasn't, ladies and gentlemen, 1985, Madonna and all those big crosses, even the Pope's wearing them. Jewish girls are still sporting Seder plates. 86, Voyager 2 skirts Uranus, but it was close. 87, President Reagan says the question is not what he knew and when he knew it, but what's the question? 88, NAFTA trade agreement passes and we immediately trade Mexico for Canada and two countries to be named later. 89, Ollie North says to Fawn, are those documents in your pantyhose or are you happy to see me? 1990, a besieged Noriega toughs out the hard rock blasted at him, but surrenders when Howard Stern comes on. 91, in the Gulf, the first war fought The war is over in the Gulf, actually. The first war fought over an invading army eating zoo animals. That was the basis for it. I have no idea why. 92, President Bush and Boris Yeltsin here agree to end the Cold War and then wander around listless and out of sorts. 93, compromise will change don't ask, don't tell to thanks, don't mention it. 94, Bill, you got a lot of splaining to do. Although Hillary is reason enough for me. Hillary is reason. Yes, that's what it says. Hillary is reason enough for me. Hillary is reason. 95, after the OJ acquittal, some interest in Naked Gun 4. 96, Mad Cow and an Englishman go out in the noonday sun. 97, new TV ratings give you 10 seconds to separate the TVY from the TVG, TV7, TVPG, TV14, or TVM. 98, new European currency confused with Greek sandwich. 99, probably the last time we'll ever hear Cokie Roberts and Sam Donaldson debate the merits of oral sex. And I remember that like it was yesterday. I think Donaldson had the open hand, upper hand on it.
Yeah, the upper hand.
I meant to say the upper hand. But either one will work, I guess. 2000, Ariel Sharon pan for ill-advised performance of If I Were a Rich Man on roof of Dome of the Rock. We're almost through the whole thing. We've just got a lousy 10 more years to go here, and I'll have you back home and forgetting all about this. 2001, 265 lawmakers vote identically to ban human cloning. 02, Axis of Evil, actually an old AC/DC song from George W.'s Wild Youth. In Iraq, mobile poison gas labs turn out to be Saddam's tricked-out Winnebagos. 04, faith-based space program to use rapture to fling astronauts to kingdom come. By 2005, President Bush says he has no regrets for going to war for no reason, leaving Dick Cheney the conscience of the administration by default. 2006, after accusing Madison, Wisconsin residents of communing with the devil, Bill O'Reilly inexplicably coughs up feathers and chicken parts. In 07, Democrats take control of Congress and immediately convert the House gallery into daycare. What looks like buttonholing is actually breastfeeding. 08, Britney released after spaying. 09, Steve Jobs says it's not his liver, it's just a software glitch. And 2010, Kardashians to intermarry with Kevorkians for the new reality series Kim Does Dr. Death. And that's 25 years. 25 years of all the news that wasn't. That's it. No more slides, no more news for 25 years, but we do have a very big moment for us here. We had the biggest fan contest, and tens, if not 20s, of people. Whoa. That's all right. There's lots more of them. These people are superstitious or something. I don't know what it is. Yep. Your picture falls on the ground, 13. And from a bolt of lightning, they think it means something. So anyhow, my biggest fan, and we scoured the country looking for someone to respond. And what do you know? There in Oxford, Mississippi, Kay sent in this letter reminding us of the wonderful time we had when we were down in Oxford there at Ole Miss. And she's with us here today. She is my biggest fan, ladies and gentlemen. Would you welcome, please, Kay Hooker Bryant, ladies and gentlemen. My biggest fan. Oh, and she brought champagne. Thank you so much. We're going to celebrate this. Whoa. I'm going to wait because you didn't see this. This is a loving
thing. I know. Of course I didn't see that.
You didn't see it. How are you?
I'm wonderful. And this is so exciting.
Yes, it is.
And I have...
You're the only one who's excited about that. That's why you're the biggest fan.
I can't help it. I know. Yeah. I mean, first of all, you interviewed me on my birthday in Oxford.
Yes.
And this show will air on my son's 50th birthday.
Whoa.
So, excuse me, but I've got to wish Colonel Bobby Towery, Deputy Commandant at Carlisle War College in Pennsylvania, happy birthday, son.
Yes. Happy birthday. And everybody at the War College. They must have a pretty good football team in the War College, do they?
Do they? Well,
is there a football program out there?
No, not actually, because they're only there for a year at a time.
Now, you have two?
I have two children.
Yes.
I have a daughter who's a freelance set decorator in Los Angeles and works in films and television, and she's won one Emmy and been nominated three times.
No kidding.
So I'm rather proud of her, too.
Wow. Well, come on. That's worth something, isn't it? And we Facebook together all the time. Now, was getting here easy?
No, actually, getting here was maybe we could call it the day from hell.
Welcome to the evening.
Yeah. I'm not a real big fan of Delta Airlines.
No. Delta, the South's revenge. You know, that's what we always call it. Yes.
But I am a big fan of Prestige Limo Service that finally secured me from Chicago back to Madison.
Yeah.
So that was really nice.
Yeah.
And Michael, you know, every Southerner, when they come visiting, they always bring gifts.
They do?
Yes. I mean, it's standard.
Yeah.
So I brought you a few gifts.
It's not like the Greeks and the Trojans, is it? I mean, you're coming north and you're... Got a large,
I think these will be safe
wooden
enough.
Wooden horse you want to give me?
I've just got so many. Everybody in Oxford wanted to send you a gift.
They did?
My friend Ace Atkins, who wrote a wonderful book called Infamous, which is about Machine Gun Kelly.
Oh.
And he even said that in his book
I've been wanting to read that.
I kind of thought you might. And he says he's dog-eared all the sex scenes for you.
That's the best kind of sex, I think, when it's dog-eared. I don't know about you. But.
And so there's Ace's book.
Oh, thank you so much.
And then Neil...
Ace is a friend of yours?
Ace is a good friend.
Yeah.
And besides, he's drop-dead gorgeous.
Is he? Yeah.
You don't mind looking at him.
Yeah, no, I sort of mind looking at him, but I see him.
And then Neil White... who wrote a book called In the Sanctuary of Outcast.
Wow.
Well, there's a lot to that. He happened to...
Well, he's pretty darn cute, too.
What is it? He's really cute, too.
Is this how you pick your reading list by the authors?
Exactly. But Neil White happened to be incarcerated for a little time in his life. And he wound up in Carlisle, Cargill, excuse me, where they had the last leper colony.
Oh.
And this is
I've been wanting to read that one about
I
the leper colony.
I knew you would.
Wow.
And just in case you ever have to deal with Alzheimer's or dementia, which I know you're far too young to.
Far too
this
past.
This is the movie Carried Away by Tom Huckabee, and you're going to love that.
With the Granny Crossing sign, that's very
cute. Yeah, it's a fabulous movie. Everybody should see this movie.
Yes.
Carried Away, Tom Huckabee.
Another close personal friend?
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
Then... In case you need to know a little bit about snakes, there's Yachtney Puff Adder, and that is from Gerald Inman.
This is hard to get. You know,
I know.
I'm on a waiting list to get this.
But now, wait till you see this.
Yachtney Puff Adder by Gerald Inman?
Inman. Gerald Inman. Now.
He's not so good looking, though.
He's kind of cute. Anyway, because you are a radio personality.
Yes.
Dr. Mickey Smith wrote a book about how Fibber McGee and Molly won World War II.
Oh, yeah, Fibber McGee and Molly.
Yeah,
how about
so
that?
I thought you'd really want to see that.
Wonderful.
And you're going to need this for the next gift. This is a cookbook prepared by all the best cooks in Oxford called Square Tables Cookbook.
Oh. But are you in here?
Of course.
Do you have a recipe in here?
Of course.
What did you come on? Show me
your
recipe.
Oh, well, mine's for pimento cheese.
Pimento cheese?
Pimento cheese. Yeah. I mean, it's
doesn't
sort of
it come
staple.
That way?
No.
You have to make it up. You have to stick the pimentos in the cheese?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, and the jalapenos and the good homemade mayonnaise.
Okay.
But here's why you're going to need that, because I'm also bringing you home stone ground grits.
Grits.
From the Grits Girl.
Oh, my. This is so nice because... It will soon be winter in Wisconsin, and those walks get so slippery that you need a little grit on there, basically.
Well, I thought that, and yeah.
You know what? Grits. I know there's a way of making this that I would like it.
And you
don't. Is there a recipe in here for making grits?
There's a whole cookbook with it.
Yeah. Okay.
And
what is your
my favorite
way to have
is
grits.
Garlic cheese grits.
Ooh,
I mean, that's
good.
A staple for every Southern party.
I say garlic and cheese, hold the grits.
No, you're going to love them.
No, I'm going to. Thank you very much.
And your friend Lynn Hewlett at Taylor Grocery sent you a
Eatery Both Star there at Taylor.
Exactly.
Yeah, excellent, excellent.
And one more T-shirt.
You didn't bring any catfish, though.
No, we wanted to bring you some catfish, but I was afraid that Delta would lose that for sure. And another T-shirt from the Oxford Spirits. You know, there's a funny thing in Oxford. I do a little acting.
From the cemetery?
It's in the cemetery. I do a little acting from time to time.
You
and
do.
It seems like that every time they need someone to play someone who's dead or really old, they call Kay. Well, that's one of my gigs right there.
What corpses have you played that I might know?
Only people who are buried in St. Peter's Cemetery.
And famous people, I would imagine.
Yes. Last year I played a very, very tragic lady named Rebecca Pegues, who just led the most tragic life of all. It brought tears to your eyes to hear it.
Yeah.
But this year I'm playing Princess Hoka. She is the Chickasaw Indian princess who gave the land upon which Oxford is built. And this is from my friend Burl Hunt. It's a get around to it.
To it.
To it.
Around to it.
To it.
Oh, okay, all right. Okay.
And last but not least, a copy of the local publicity that
Oxonian
I got.
Oxonian named biggest fan of NPR show. Okay, we're not on. They got you right. Sometimes being a fan has its rewards. I have listened to him for years. I went to see him when the show was in Jackson in the early 90s. Oh, you were? I didn't know about that.
Yes, I was right there.
Because I was such a fan even back then. Now, all right, now people are probably wondering, you are the flower of Southern womanhood.
Well,
what is with the little Jewish guy up north?
Hey, listen, I'm single. I'm looking.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now, thank you. Anything else, or is that pretty much it? Or?
Well, that's all the gifts I brought. Yeah. I'm taking my bag back because you gave me this wonderful bag.
That's all we gave you was the bag to carry your... I'm a little embarrassed. Wasn't there a stash bag filled
filled with wonderful...
Wonderful things.
Absolutely wonderful things.
What did we give you? I didn't see it was in it.
Well, you've given me...
Hours of entertainment. I know,
Well, but... I got your souvenir quarter.
Oh, that's worth having.
And the fabulous CD, The First 25 Years Are the Hardest.
Yes, yes.
I got that.
That's
and
it.
Then also gift certificates for a fabulous dinner tomorrow night.
Oh.
And, of course, there was that incredible flight here.
Absolutely no charge to you. And then, you know, when they sell your bags, that'll come out even then for them. Football is your passion? Is that true?
Football is our passion.
And
it is
only
a religion.
Yes. Only Ole Miss?
Or
do you spread it around a little bit?
Well, not only Ole Miss, because, you see, we also have to follow the New York Giants because a very handsome man named Eli Manning happens to play for that team.
Right.
And Eli has built a home in Oxford where he's going to live.
Yeah.
And Michael Orr, who was also the star of Blindside, and I hope all of you have seen Blindside. Yeah. Michael's building his home in Oxford.
Yeah.
And Sam Haskell has come back to Oxford. So,
any team with
we're waiting on you.
Any team with a Southern majority, you back.
Yes, actually.
Now, this thing, though, because I went on your Facebook site, because now we're friends.
Absolutely. Was that tickled?
The Porta John Drill.
The Porta-John Drill.
That's a
Dexter
true thing?
Dexter McCluster posted that on Facebook, and it is a real deal. They have a Porta-John, and the passer
is
out
this
there.
Now?
This is the Dexter McCluster's Chiefs, the Kansas City Chiefs team.
Yeah.
And Dexter McCluster, of course, was a fabulous Ole Miss football player. And they've got one guy opening the door to the Porta-John, and the passer is throwing into it before they close the door.
The receiver is sitting in the porta potty.
Exactly.
They open the door and they pass. And that's
exactly.
The pass. That's a play. What do they call that play?
No, that's
how is
just
that
a
diagram
practice.
Even?
Yes.
And do they actually use that? In
oh, that's what Dexter says. Now, I haven't actually seen it, but Dexter says they do.
Is that an Ole Miss kind of thing? Or is that?
No, I think that's the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah. And what is that considered good for the passing game?
Well, I guess if you're quick enough, it is.
Depending what the guy in the John is passing,
well,
I guess.
Yes, that might be.
All right, I want to check that out. Yes.
Yes, indeed.
You know what I love about you? Many things. I mean, I love your total personality. Let's face
it. Thank you.
Yes. And that was even in the audience there when you told that story about being the street...
Being a hooker?
The street hooker.
Yes, I
That's
was.
That's hard because your father's side of the streets?
My father, my maiden name was Hooker, and to make matters just a little bit worse, my mother was a street.
Yeah. So you were, in fact...
I grew up in Oxford, Mississippi as Kay Street Hooker. Of course, I didn't know that, and I told you that story then, but another little story that you might be interested in.
Of course.
Back in the naive days in the 50s, when we didn't know the connotations, a young man moved to Oxford, and this is a true story, named Johnny Hoare. And we wound up running against each other for vice president of the student body. I don't make this up.
No, you couldn't make this stuff up.
So the headlines in the high school paper said, Whore beats Hooker. Two votes.
Oh, well. Can't hold a grudge, can you?
No.
And the Horrors are very nice people, weren't they?
They are. Yeah. Very nice people.
Yeah. And one of the older families.
Absolutely.
Yes.
As are the Hookers.
Naturally. It goes without saying. And yet we have.
Yes, we have.
This is the loving cup, Kay, that I am so happy to present to you as being my biggest fan. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know to Kay Hooker Bryant. Do you still use the hooker?
Oh, you bet.
Okay. And I want to give that to you right now, in this moment here.
Thank you.
And we do happen to have this bottle of champagne. I thought we could even drink out of it.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Wouldn't that be a moment?
Let's do it.
All right. Drinking out of the loving cup.
Let's break this baby in.
Oh yeah. Let's do that. And it holds a lot too, this loving cup, Kay, because you deserve it. We'll just put a little bit in there. We don't want it.
I wish I'd had some of it yesterday while I was trying to get on an airplane.
Well, you weren't on the Delta Champagne flight, apparently.
No, I wasn't.
Yes.
Now, shall we toast
to
25 more years, Michael?
Thank you.
I hope they're just as wonderful.
Thank you very much, dear. That's so sweet. Since it is a loving cup, I shall partake of it. Okay. Oh, thank you very much.
That's cool.
Thank you for joining us up here.
Thank you for having me. It's been wonderful. I love every member of this group. They are the nicest people you could ever know. And everybody's just been fabulous. And I've got to say thank you to my friend Sue Gobert, who's sitting out there in the audience, who went through that day from hell just to come along and come with me.
And
thank
her,
you, Sue.
Her luggage will turn up shortly.
We hope.
Thank you, Kay.
Thank you.
And the outstanding Kay Bryant from Oxford, Mississippi. Clyde wants the grits, so he's going to inherit those. Oh, this looks good, doesn't it? Okay. My daughter bought me the shirt, TJ Maxx, $14. The sweat was free, however. Are you warm or is it just me?
It's you.
Me, okay. Well, you should be up there. The lights are just terrible. Plus, that projector kicks out a lot of heat. UW graduate student in physics, Valerie Plaus? Plans? Plaus. originally from Newmarket, Ontario. And where are you? Okay, I'll come to you if you won't come to me. That's all right. That works for me. Graduate student in physics. Where are you? There she is. How are you?
I'm fine.
Are you in graduate school right now?
Yes.
So is this the last year for it? Or?
No, I'm in finishing my third year of five.
Third year of five? And is that normal?
Yes. Yes.
5 years?
5 years.
So 6 years undergrad and 5 years grad.
4 years undergrad.
No, it's six is what I heard. That's what my daughter tells me. And what is your specialty in physics?
High energy theoretical particle physics.
Oh, I love that. That's my favorite kind. So you're like at those accelerators and stuff?
My friends are. I do the math.
You do the math. So you don't get to go to see the actual particles being accelerated?
No, I don't.
Don't you ever wonder what that looks like when it actually happens?
I do.
So you don't get to go to CERN or someplace?
Nope.
Did you ask? Maybe it's in your contract.
We don't have that much money.
You're strictly theoretical?
Yep.
Is that all right with you?
Yes.
Yep. It's not the glamorous part of the whole high acceleration particle physics thing.
But it's fun.
Yeah, okay, well, that's cool. Math, and math is a good thing. And then so when you're done with this final 3 or 4 or 5 years, then what do you do for a living?
Ideally, I'd like to teach undergraduates physics.
Okay, well, that's really cool. Very nice to meet you. Anything you want to know from me?
I wanted to ask how you got the show started, but you sort of answered some of that for
me. Yes, I don't want to go through the entire slideshow and my life as we know it, but thank you, dear, and good luck to you. Very nice to meet you. How are we doing time-wise?
We're getting close.
We're going to play the What Do You Know quiz, chance for you to win fabulous prizes simply for being fabulous. Before we can do that, we have to know who can and cannot participate in that quiz. To that extent, who do I get? Yes, can I get you to stand up here? Hi, Deb. And you are?
Kathy Hurd.
Kathy, you want to do the honors?
You bet.
Okay. Hold it.
The four disclaimers. All questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. 50 years, and then we'll talk. Number three, persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the phones, office phones, trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. Number four, all opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Very well done. Thank you. You can keep that absolutely no charge. Let's see the hands of those of you who want to try them at the quiz. This is a chance to make up for all the undergraduate work you did here and maybe get some credit for it. Well, I don't know. You seem to need it more than most. There is something needful about you. This gentleman here, it seemed to be maybe a little too important to you.
I said, well, I was going to say I flew from Hong Kong to do the show.
And you are?
Andy Shirovsky.
Andy Shirovsky?
Yeah.
How are you?
Good. I'm good.
Where are you from originally, Andy?
I was born in Milwaukee. My parents live in Lake Mills and flew back here for a wedding that I'm going to tomorrow. My niece.
Okay. And you flew back from?
Hong Kong.
You did. I thought you were. Andy, because I know you're a joker, Andy.
No.
Never know when you're serious.
Yeah.
One good reason, Andy, you should play this quiz.
I think I just gave them all to you.
Yes, you did, and I'm satisfied. I don't know what I was thinking of. Have a seat there if you would, Andy Shirovsky. Have a seat right down there. Grace Arnagahai. Fat Angelo's in Hong Kong.
That's
you
right.
Have an Italian restaurant in Hong Kong?
Yeah, got a couple of them.
How does that work?
Pretty much like they do here.
No, but I mean, is it trendy? Is it considered trendy?
No.
Fat Angelo's?
No, very kind of family, you know,
yeah.
Middle of the road. Mid-scale.
Are there a lot of Italian families in Hong Kong?
No.
Yeah.
But the ones that do come to our place.
And Shirovsky obviously is an Italian name,
absolutely.
So you have a good background.
Yes.
Fat Angelo's, and how did you happen to get into an Italian restaurant, starting an Italian restaurant in Hong Kong?
Well, I kind of grew up there. I moved there when I was 10.
You did?
Dad was a missionary.
Really?
Lutheran missionary.
Yeah.
And I kind of, the acorn never falls far from the tree.
Yeah.
So I started saloons. Sorry, working in bars.
Well, and, there's ministry, and then there's ministry, right?
And eventually, work in a restaurant is what you do while you're looking for something better to happen, and
right.
Eventually took over my life, and
And
then about 10 years ago, a couple of buddies of mine and myself started this place. And
have you brought the salad bar too?
We didn't try the salad bar. I think that concept kind of died in Hong Kong a long time ago with Pizza Hut.
Oh, so Pizza Hut killed
they
it off.
They tried that there, and it just
was it the sneeze guard kind of that probably threw them
off?
Yeah,
it was a free for all, and
keep trying to get your fork through
something like that. Yeah,
and
yeah.
There's this. So, yeah, it's a hard concept to explain if you don't grow up with it.
Yeah, we have plenty of salad, but we don't have it in bar form.
Yeah, and do the Chinese in general like Italian food?
Fantastic. I mean, it's pretty much just where did it come from? Where
Marco Polo.
That's right. Thank you. So the theory goes. I'm not sure about that.
I don't think it's true, but it makes a good story.
Somebody said it could have gone the other way, actually. Yeah, he might have taken it there.
Yeah, well, that's fantastic. Yeah. Thank you so much for that.
No, you're welcome.
And the wedding is tomorrow? And
tomorrow, yeah. My niece, Alex, and her fiancé, Kent.
Excellent, excellent. Well, you know how this quiz works?
I'm a loyal podcast listener.
You are?
My mom managed to get me tickets, which kind of swung the balance for whether I was going to fly back for the wedding or not. the tickets to this show, my Aunt Nancy came along as my date.
Oh,
everyone else is at the rehearsal dinner tonight.
Where's Nancy?
The road there, waving out there.
Oh, hi. How are you? Okay. Well, fantastic. Someone out there plays along with you. How do they do that?
This is an encore performance, so don't call today, but save your call for another time.
All right. This was, going back to 1985 when all this started, the best movie of 1985. Listen to this. I'm not kidding you. This was the best movie of 1985, ladies and gentlemen. We've got the folks on the phone already here. Charles is on from Duluth, Minnesota. Hey, Charles. How are you?
Happy Friday the 13th there.
Yeah.
All right.
How's your evening going so far, Charles? Pretty good? Sounds like.
So far, so good.
Do you know what movie that was in 1985?
Oh, I think that's from the soundtrack of Back to the Future.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's not the one. That was another big one that year, but that wasn't it.
Okay.
Thanks, Charles. Claire's on the line from Madison. Hey, Claire.
Hi.
How's it going?
Great.
What about this weather, though, hey?
Oh, it was a pretty rainy day. We were staying inside a lot and went down to the basement once.
Yeah, but the basement's flooded, so that's not a good idea either. There's really no solution to this weather. Claire, you heard the soundtrack from that's from the best movie of 1985. Do you know what it was?
Best movie of 1985.
The Giggling?
Big Adventure?
Pee-wee's Big Adventure? No, that's probably a personal favorite, but that's not this particular. It won Best Picture, won the Oscar for Best Picture.
Pee-wee didn't. Oscar for Best Picture.
Yeah, I'm sorry, we got to go
Africa?
Now. You can keep trying, but we got to go.
Okay,
sorry. Luther's on the line from La Crosse. Hey, Luther.
Hey, Michael.
How's it going?
I'm doing all right.
Okay.
2 weeks ago, I was on the show.
Oh, yeah. Luther, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I don't think you can play again. It's too soon.
Oh, darn it.
Nice talking to you, though.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, bye. He was a real nice guy, but
he was
on
very
the show,
nice guy.
Jim, you know the
two
rules.
2 weeks, right.
You want to state that rule, Jim? Just in.
If you've won within the last 2 weeks.
Here's Bob from La Crescent, Minnesota.
Try it again.
One flew over the cuckoo's nest.
Oh, no, that's not it either.
Hey, anyway, congratulations. Yeah. I just wanted to say that. Thanks.
Oh, thanks very much, Bob. Very nice of you. In Portland, Oregon. Let's see. Yeah, that goes there. It is. Joan, are you there?
I'm here.
Did you hear the giggling?
I heard the giggling.
Yeah. What movie was that? Best
that
picture.
That was Amadeus.
Amadeus. Tom Hulce in the most annoying role ever on the screen, I think. For my money, anyway. And how are things there in Portland, Joan?
Things are good in Portland.
Yeah, well, excellent, excellent. And this is Andy here. He runs an Italian restaurant in Hong Kong.
Hi, Joan.
Hi, Andy.
What?
I was just saying nice to meet you.
Go ahead.
It's your show.
No, go ahead.
Is it raining in Portland, Joan? It's raining like
get your own show.
So,
Joan, is it raining in Portland, or what's going
it
on there?
It only rains here 11 months a year.
Weather-wise. Liquid sunshine, I know what they call. Joan, what field are you in out there?
I'm in a big field of grass.
All right. Well, could you send me some parcel post and send it to Jim Packard, and then I'll just pick it up.
Okay, it's a deal.
Joan and Andy, you two are a team right now. You collaborate on this. And Jim Packard, what do they collaborate on?
Categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science or odds and ends.
All right, Joan, you pick the first one. What would you like?
Odds and ends.
Odds and ends. Could be anything. What do Charles Lindbergh, Dick Cheney, and Howard Feldman all have in common? It has something to do with where we're broadcasting this show from, I'll tell you that much, which is the University of Wisconsin, Madison.
They all went to the University of Wisconsin, Madison.
Well, I don't know, Andy, you agree with that? That's
Couldn't
kind
hear,
of a leap of faith.
What did she say?
She said that Charles Lindbergh, Dick Cheney, and Howard Feldman all went to the University of
Wisconsin. I think that's a pretty good guess.
Yes, that's
I'm
right.
Go with
that's
that.
Exactly
yeah,
right. And Eudora Welty. I would have got her in there, but I had to stick Howard in there because he gets hurt if I don't mention him once a show.
One right, no wrong.
Okay, very good. Okay, you're on the road to success here. What's left there, Jim?
Current events, people, places, school, or science?
Andy.
How about places?
Places it is. Here it is. When a badger goes overseas, it's likely to be to one of the following places. Is it the UP? Italy or Australia? Favorite place, you know, if you know, if we're going to go somewhere.
Well, I don't think
a Wisconsin badger.
Over a lake wouldn't be overseas, so
yeah.
Do you think Italy?
The UP is actually attached, isn't it? You really have to go over the lake. You're going the long way.
I'm thinking
which
Italy.
Which would make it overseas, I guess. What? Italy?
I'm thinking Italy.
Italy? Yeah, I'll go with Italy.
Italy is right.
Oh,
yes,
well,
number
go.
One.
Well,
Australia, well, number two, and Ireland, number three. So we get around through there.
Two right, no wrong.
Very good. This is good. What's left there, Jim?
Current events, people, school, or science?
Joan, what would you like?
Science.
Science it is. All right, then. Among cotton top tamarinds, which are being studied here at the University of Wisconsin, couples, we're talking about tamarind, cotton top tamarind couples. When one is cuddly and groomy, cuddly groomy type, does the other one tend to be? These are couples now of tamarinds.
Oh, if you're one's cuddly and groomy, boy, the other one better be.
Yeah, I think so. They're little monkeys, aren't they?
Tamarinds, yeah. Cotton tops, they're real cute little ones. Hmm. So you're saying yes? This is being studied here at the University of Wisconsin Primate Research Center.
I'm going to say yes, Joan.
Yes?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes, yes,
yes
is yes,
okay.
Yes. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Whoa, that was too easy. Somebody stole my bell. This cowbell does not do it for me. Not in the least.
It's not the right
Jim,
one.
Jim, they have won.
They've won. They can stop, take a prize, or they can go on, try for the mother load. They do have to answer two questions correctly from our three remaining categories. If they miss either one of those, they're going to have to take their finals over again.
Okay. Oh. Joan, it's the 25th anniversary. We better go for it, I think.
Yeah.
We better go for it.
Yeah. All right,
okay.
They're going
all
for
right.
it. We like to see that in contestants.
Current events, people, or places?
Okay. So is it back to you, Andy?
How about people?
People, okay. Are there a lot of Italian restaurants in Hong Kong?
Yeah, too many. Yeah.
There aren't really a lot
of competition, yeah.
You got to have something different there.
Yeah.
Salad bar, I
Do
thought.
You serve that spaghetti with chopsticks?
Well, we have them on hand if people ask, just like forks here, you know, in Chinese restaurants.
Yeah. You get that a lot, don't you?
Yeah, no.
I'm so glad I didn't say that, because you must hear that all the time. Badgers. Well, once again, badgers here are most frustrated waiting in one of the following situations. Is it in a deer stand, at the doctor's, or for their wives?
Oh, man.
Badgers, Wisconsinites, if you prefer,
right.
Are most frustrated while waiting, in a deer stand, at the doctor's, or for their wives. That's what they tell us.
Joe and I think wives is kind of...
Wives?
That'd be a little controversial, wouldn't you think?
Would be, but...
Yeah, maybe for the
Do we
doctor.
Want to go there, really? I don't know.
I don't know. Probably,
Probably at the doctor, don't you think, Andy?
Well, yeah, thinking about it. The wives is just thrown there in there to be controversial.
Yeah,
so doctor's office?
I'm always pushing the envelope.
Doctor's
you know
office,
me.
I think, yeah?
At the doctor's office,
yeah,
yes. 53% say they are most frustrated while waiting at the doctor's office. That would be...
Four right, no wrong.
Thank you, Jim. And that means one more will take it, huh?
Current events or school?
Current events or school, you say? Okay. Joan?
School.
School, all right. Something you should have learned had been paying attention. The best laid schemes of mice and men, A, aft gang aglay, B, gang aft aglay, or C, I can't even read that one. So let's say A or B, aft gang aglay or gang aft aglay.
Oh, Jonah, it's the first one.
Commonly misconceived.
I've read the book many times.
Misquoted.
Okay. It's not the book, misquoted.
But it's almost every time that people get it wrong.
Robbie Burns, right?
Robbie Burns, to a mouse.
Yeah. Aft go aglay.
Or gang aft aglay, or this one I can't read.
It's the first one.
Or gang aft aglay.
You really?
Gang aft aglay.
Yeah, okay, well, we'll go with gang aft aglay.
No, I'm not saying you should do that. You can if you want to, Andy.
I'm pretty sure it's off gay, the first one.
Okay. What are you sure of, Joan?
Well, I'm not sure of anything. I think maybe it might be the third one.
The one you didn't
read? Yeah, I can't. I have no idea. Can you read that? No, you never mind. I didn't see the answer. Yeah, no. So you're saying gang afterglay?
Yeah.
Well,
yes, gang afterglay. Yes. That is exactly right. Because you're not going to lose it at this point. Let's face it. Boy, I hate that cowbell. What have they won, Jim?
Well, Joan, you've won the official genuine Poupon U toilet seat from America's Mustard College, where they say, who needs Harvard? Who needs Yale at Poupon U? You'll never fail. It comes with a college cap and pennant from the National Mustard Museum, newly relocated to Middleton, Wisconsin. And come on along, take the gang out to eat at Donnie Dumpling's Dowry near the UW campus in downtown Madison. Andy, you'll be heading for the north woods of Wisconsin to Dillman's Bay, a nostalgic resort on the shores of White Sand Lake near Lac des Flambeaux for a white night stay, plus a pontoon boat ride and cocktail from Dillman's Bay Resort and Workshops, family run since 1934. And then when you're back in Madison, dine at Portobello, serving fine Italian cuisine near the UW campus since 1968.
Chopsticks available.
And each of you will receive a miniature of the distinctive Union Terrace chair from the Wisconsin Union Terrace Essential Store.
Cool.
You'll turn heads wearing the What Do You Know Silver Jubilee baseball shirt in white with red stripes, featuring the familiar logos and the number 25, along with a What Do You Know Silver Jubilee anniversary quarter, a Jubilee patch depicting the Feldman quarter to sew on your rucksack, and the fantastic The First 25 Are the Hardest, a 2-CD compilation of interviews, quizzes, memos, and unbridled hilarity from Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? Congratulations.
Unbridled.
Our next live shows in Madison are September 22nd and September 29th at Monona Terrace. Tickets at notmuch.com or by calling 608-262-2201. Tickets are on sale for a live What Do You Know show from the Gallagher Blue Dorn Performing Arts Center in Cedar Falls, Iowa on September 8th. Get yours by calling 319-273-4TIX or follow the links at iowapublicradio.org. Michael and the gang head to the Red River Valley for a live What Do You Know show from Festival Concert Hall on the North Dakota State University campus in Fargo on October 20th. Tickets available by calling 701-231-7969 or click on prairiepublic.org/radio. Stay tuned. Coming up, live music with Robbie Foulkes and Michael chats with Congresswoman Tammy Baldwin. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. Welcome back to an encore presentation of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, Clyde Stubblefield on drums, with Jim Packard announcing. In this hour of What Do You Know, Robbie Foulkes rocks the Union Theater, Wisconsin's own Congresswoman Tammy Baldwin, and Michael cuts the cake on another quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Now, the man who might have paid a little bit of this attention to his silver wedding anniversary, Michael Feldman.
We're in the Wisconsin Union Theater. It is the 25th anniversary show, and we're out here with David. Dear Sir Funny, hi, this is David. I traveled across the Atlantic to the USA to see your funny show. Who came the longest? He came all the way from Spain. Anyone beat that? Where is he? Here, come on, meet Sir Funny. All the way from Spain just to meet Sir Funny. Isn't that something? Where in Spain are you from?
From Barcelona.
From Barcelona?
Yes.
No kidding. Maura over here is going to Barcelona. She's got to get your number before you leave. Are you here just to study or to visit? Or?
With a host family.
You have a host family?
For study.
Should we exchange someone for you?
No.
It was just a win-win for us then, huh? There was nothing. We didn't have to give up any players for you. And then, you're not majoring because you're in high school, so you're not majoring in anything.
No.
You don't have a field of study.
Yes, I have the field, but
basketball is your field of study. Is that is basketball considered a field of study in Spain?
No. You have to study.
Yeah, you have to study to be on the basketball team. Do you like art? Do you like science?
Math, PE, and basketball.
All right, so you're playing basketball there. And then over here, are you playing basketball as well?
Yes, with some American people.
And how do you find the basketball level here in America as opposed to Spain?
Good, me too.
Well, it's nice to meet you, David. I hope I didn't embarrass you too much, but I just wanted to say hello to you. Maura is sitting over there. She's going to Barcelona in about a month or so, and she's very cute. So would you make sure you talk to her before you leave?
Yes.
Do that for me, will you, David? You can do one thing for me. Thank you very much. Yes. Tammy. Oh, Tammy. Would you welcome, please, our congresswoman, ladies and gentlemen, Tammy Baldwin. U.S. Representative. Tammy. I have missed you.
And my mother actually named me after this song in the movie.
She did?
She did.
Well, what was the reasoning there?
I don't know. She had this little blonde baby, and Debbie Reynolds had played Tammy. I'm not quite sure. She must have loved it.
That could have been a setback for you, and yet it wasn't.
We survived.
A lot of Tammy jokes, I imagine, over the years.
I think you've made a few of them.
I've made a few of them. I probably made
I think you made some of the best.
I'm trying to find my material here, which is underneath all these grits and all these books. And
ah.
Excuse me for just a second. I'm sorry to be so disorganized. You don't send out maps or anything, do you, like a lot of the Congress people?
I have not sent out maps.
Yeah. You might want to look into that.
You know, the map of the 2nd Congressional District isn't just, like, useful to anyone except for me.
Well, not just of the district. I mean, that's a little limited, but I mean, you know.
World maps, or?
No, well, you know, Wisconsin or something like that.
Okay.
You know.
We'll look into that.
Maps or the blue books. A lot of the old guys used to send out the blue book every year.
I used to do that when I was a state legislator.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess nationally you
would
do
that.
There's no national blue book, I guess, is what you're saying.
Well, there is a blue book, but it doesn't serve the same purpose. It wouldn't be as useful to constituents.
No, not at all. I don't think so. I just wanted to ask about that. How is it going?
It's an incredible time to serve, I can tell you.
Yes. any reservations about it? No. You know, tell me if you agree with me that the level of political discourse is the lowest since, they used to beat each other up physically in the 19th
There's
century.
A couple of duels that have occurred.
Yeah, there were duels early on. We haven't gone that far, but it's reached a kind of a new low, don't you think, in terms of civility and talking about philosophy as opposed to personality.
I absolutely agree with that, although what I would say is the story of what civility exists doesn't get told anymore.
Yeah.
So it's not that I don't ever work with people across the political aisle or, have... opportunities to have civil discourse and debate.
Yeah,
it's just that never makes the headlines. That never gets covered. And
well,
so,
who do you like there? It was quite different from you.
Oh boy. Well, actually, one of the people who's most ideologically different from me is a guy named Tom Price, who's a member from Georgia, conservative Republican. But a few years back, we put together a healthcare bill together. He's a doctor by training and. Spent about a year and a half trying to work through our disagreements, and it was a bill to allow states to create universal health care in each state. And, of course, we had a different health care reform debate that has recently come to a close. But, that was a good story of probably...
Like John Boehner?
Now, John Boehner used to have his office across the hall from mine before he became a member of leadership. We'd walk over to votes together all the time. No handball, but You know, he's a smoker, and so he'd take the outdoor route. And I always like to walk outdoors, so we'd end up walking over to the votes together.
Nice guy to talk to, though, or?
Well, yeah, when you're making small talk, when the cameras aren't rolling.
And I mean, do they socialize, you know, despite party labels and philosophy? I mean, do you...
You know, there's some of
I'd like to think that you guys play handball together, racquetball, or...
Well, there's a pickup basketball game that I've never played in that occurs every, like, 4 p.m. over in one of the, well, I guess there's a workout room that that a bunch of the guys play in. But
do you have facilities like the Senate's got those several gyms and they got open bars, not even cash bars?
There are indeed fitness facilities for members and for staff on Capitol Hill. It's a huge complex, and so... there are workout facilities on campus.
Yeah.
And
on campus? Is it called a campus?
Well, if I think about it, you know, it's the Capitol, and then there's three House office buildings and three Senate office buildings. So, yeah, it's, you know, probably about six square blocks in size. And, and now, of course, with, you know, post-9/11 world, it's all sort of fortified. And so it does kind of look like a campus with an edge, you know, to it.
Yeah. And office space better?
Fabulous,
than it was.
Especially than my freshman term when I had this wonderful view out my window of a brick wall in an inner courtyard. Now I actually, if I, you know, lean in the right direction, I can see the mall.
Yeah, if you lean to your left?
Yes, as a matter of fact, it happens to be the case.
And then this other thing, you know, and it's not just Sarah Palin or something, but her and the whole Mama Grizzly thing that's, you know, because, you know, everyone's women in politics, you know, and we always thought it would be, you know, like normal women or, you know, or progressive women or, you know what I mean? I mean, women who were actually, you know, weren't these Mama Grizzly types. And that is that actually a movement now that you see, you know, because definitely women, more and more women are in politics, but is it the Sarah Palin cadre of Grizzlies now that we're seeing?
Well, we have a couple of her ilk in the House of Representatives who are getting a lot of... a lot of play and sort of would characterize themselves much the same way, but there's a lot of the rest of us too.
Do we need an animal or something to represent, you know, Mama Badgers or something, you know, Mama Marmosets?
Well,
Mama.
I mean, despite the fact that I'm incredibly proud of being a Badger, I don't feel like we need a mascot for the women members of Congress in that sense.
But it seems to work. It gets, because, you know, it gets a lot of... I'm just saying,
I mean,
think
maybe
about it.
The maps and a mascot. All right. It's on my things to do list.
Yeah. I'm thinking. Yeah, think about those things. I also have this here. Bill summary and status search results for Tammy Baldwin. National health care reform. National health care reform. Excellent. World Glaucoma Day. I'm very much in favor of glaucoma, and I think we got to go a step further. medication for glaucoma, the only thing that works. You know, and I'm just saying...
I'm on that bill, too.
Are you?
I am.
Is that going anywhere? No, probably not. National Eye Institute, Glaucoma Day, same thing. Gastrointestinal disorder. You're on the forefront here of the functional gastrointestinal disorder and irritable bowel syndrome movement.
I am.
Does this cross party lines, IBS?
Or? It does. Yeah. It actually does.
Yeah. What's the background on that? How did you get involved in irritable bowel syndrome?
A constituent who felt that there's very little knowledge about it, a lot of misunderstanding about it, and not enough research asked me to take a lead.
Yeah. And as a result?
I have taken a lead.
Tums. Let them eat Tums. Is that what? Okay. A Greenhouse Gas Registry Act?
Yes.
What is that one?
Well, you know, if we're going to reduce our carbon emissions,
yes,
going on a carbon diet, first thing you do when you go on a diet is you jump on a scale.
Yeah.
And you see what the starting point is. And then, so the Greenhouse Gas Registry is sort of the equivalent of jumping on the scale. It's figuring out where we start. What are the emissions from all the power plants and major manufacturers? And get that first reading and then figure out if we're going to really combat climate change, we are going to have to reduce over the years. And but you need that starting point and that good data. So the registry is that data.
Oh, I see. And is that anything to do with the cap and trade thing that they're talking
about?
Well,
certainly if we were to pass a cap and trade bill, it would relate to that. That would be the mechanism, the data by which you would make sure that the emitters were reducing their emissions over time.
Yeah.
But it can also work with a carbon tax or with any other way of putting a price on carbon or trying to reduce our carbon emissions without putting a price on it.
Yeah.
Any of those, I mean, in order to combat global warming, we need to have a handle on what our emissions are.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't there supposed to be an energy bill, though? And
yes, the House passed one last spring.
What happened to that?
Well, like a number of things, it kind of got waylaid in the U.S. Senate.
Ah.
That supermajority problem that they're having right now.
Yeah. Okay. You know, my theory is, one idea I think is actually to pump the oil back into the ground. This is my theory now, because those pipes could go both ways.
You know what they're talking about doing is putting the carbon emissions back down in the ground.
Yes, and that's where I got
permanent
the idea
storage.
Was that the gas, put the gas, store the gas underground, or just force the gas back into those crevices that it came from.
We've got some of our brightest minds working on that right now.
Yes, and plus me.
We welcome that addition.
Railroad antitrust, is that still a big thing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Who owns the railroads? Well, is there one guy?
Four railroads control about 90% of the intercontinental freight travel right now. Oh. And if you only have one serving you, it's kind of like a monopoly. And they're not subject to the antitrust rules. So I hear from people who need to use freight rail for shipping their products all the time that they're not getting any, they can't get competitive bids. So we need to do something about that.
Crane conservation?
Yes. Have you ever been to the International Crane Foundation?
I even danced. I danced with one of the birds out there once just to get it in
did.
The heat. Yeah.
Wonderful. And they do dance beautifully.
They do.
Do you remember which one?
It didn't go into heat, unfortunately. That was the whole point of it, is to get them to go into their mating ritual.
Well, the International Crane Foundation opened my eyes to the fact that of the 15 species of crane that exist all over the world, that most of them are endangered or nearly extinct. We through heroic efforts in the U.S. and in Canada, have helped bring the whooping crane back from the brink of extinction. There were only, I think, 40 birds counted some years ago. But this would make us an international leader in trying to preserve and protect all 15 species that we find globally, most of which are very much endangered.
What did you think about this Gibbs remark the other day that the left, you know, what he had to say about the left?
They're on
drugs, or they should be drug tested, and that really nothing would satisfy their agenda, and which seems to be somewhat probably what the Obama administration might be thinking about, some of who should be their strongest supporters. Do you feel that, any of that, or?
You know, I think I share the frustration of many that that change didn't happen more quickly. I think that if you're passionate about various things, whether it's, you know, the healthcare reform or combating climate change, or a lot of the issues that we've been talking about, that you're very earnest about wanting change. And yet we also know that it happens slowly and that we do have to be, you know, we have to work on this. But my fear is that those who are frustrated might not show up to the polls on November 2nd. They absolutely need to, because while the progress isn't as fast as we like, we are making progress. We were just talking about that health care bill. I would have loved to see us go a little bolder than we were and we will. That's the next step. But yet, we passed something that had been 70 years in the making that is making real difference already and will continue to in the future. And so, you know, I want to keep folks who want that change participating, urging, agitating. That's the only way it's ever going to happen.
Mm-hmm. One thing that I have noticed is that on several of these issues, that it seems to be that President Obama's way of working is sort of letting the legislators work out the details of these plans. And is there maybe need for more leadership in terms of saying this is what we have to get done?
Well, you know, I think on the healthcare debate, they looked at the last major attempt, which was during the Clinton years, where the administration presented their proposal to Congress, and Congress before I was serving, sort of said, well, wait a second, what are we for? You know, and so I think they wanted to take a different approach. And while it was painful and slow and contentious, ultimately we were able to pass a very significant set of reforms that I think will lead to even further reforms.
Yeah. I don't detect any disillusion on your part. A lot of legislators are leaving now, actually, in the Senate and the House, because perhaps it's the climate and so forth in those places, and just the level of discourse that we're talking about. But you don't feel at all discouraged by your experience in Congress?
Well, our democracy is imperfect, but it is what we have, and I want to be a part of trying to bring about the changes that I think we were all eager for, whether it is a comprehensive universal health care program or doing the responsible thing by our environment and on climate. I mean, we have to have people committed to those things in office, and that's why, and we also have to get our economy back on track. Obviously, yeah. We're in very difficult times right now. I guess I want to be a part of the solution. Mm-hmm.
But emotionally, you don't ever go home and just say, why am I even bothering with it?
You know, I have my trying days, but yeah, I get up the next morning and try again.
Yeah. Tammy, it's great to see you again. Oh, I haven't seen you for a while.
It has been.
I always enjoy seeing you. Call me if you need anything. You know, fundraiser.
More Tammy jokes?
Tammy jokes, you need them. Our representative, Congresswoman Tammy Baldwin. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're listening to Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? Silver Jubilee Celebration from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI Public Radio International.
This tall dude you see here standing next to me with the shirt concealing his T-shirt, which says, I heart Jews. I'm not kidding this. But you welcome, please, Robbie Foulkes and his band.
There you go again, out of control, yeah. All running like the wind, leaving me blue. I take you back and then you break my heart again. It seems that I just can't win for losing you. We try a thousand times to keep this love alive, but your fickle heart just can't be true. Now I pin my every hope onto a lie. I just can't win for losing you. There you go again, out of control again, off running like the wind, leaving me blue. Well, I take you back and then you break my heart again. It seems that I just can't win for losing you. All running like the wind, leaving me blue.
Oh, that's good. Man, that's just the way I would have done it. I would have done it a little louder, maybe. I'm almost embarrassed how much I like you. And now that T-shirt has just cemented the whole deal for me. Now that I know you like us, too. It's not right that I feel this
way. Very happy to be back. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary.
You too. I'm sure you must have one or two.
I mean, me too.
Where you been, man? Brooklyn, what? That wasn't long.
No, I was in Brooklyn for a little while, but we came back to the Midwest.
Didn't you find it hospitable? Or?
Brooklyn? Not really.
Don't tell me you played blank this town in Brooklyn, right? And they took it the wrong way.
No, we kept a pretty quiet scene going in Brooklyn and, just tried to be model citizens while we were over there.
Yeah. Georgia Hard, is that the new one?
Well, that's pretty old by now. I haven't seen you in a little while, but I've got a new record out earlier this year, and it's a sort of a country tribute to Michael Jackson.
Yeah. Well, what would be on something like that then?
Well, probably a lot that you'd expect. I did Man in the Mirror and theme from Ben, the one about the rat. And a lot of hits and a couple obscure ones, too. Going all the way back to the Jackson 5 and up through the Invincible record.
Yeah. Well, I you can do something from that now? Can you do a Michael Jackson?
That's a good segue. Yeah, I think we will, This is from the record album called Happy.
She was more like a beauty queen from a movie screen. I said, I don't know, what do you mean? I am the one who would dance on the floor and around. She told me her name was Billie Jean. She caused a scene in every head turned with eyes to dream of being the one who would dance on the floor and around.
People always told me, be careful of what you do. Go around breaking young girls' hearts. Mother always told me, be careful of who you love. Look out for what you do, because the lie becomes the truth. Billie Jean is not my love. She's just a girl.
I thought he was kidding. That was great. I finally understand Billie Jean. Robbie Foulkes, ladies and gentlemen. And the band.
You're listening to Michael Feldman's What Do You Know Silver Jubilee Celebration from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International.
Study here.
I studied jazz with John up there.
You studied jazz? You mean they teach that?
Well, no, actually, I started.
I don't think you could teach that. I thought either born
up here, so.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
a friend of mine. Be careful of him.
Yeah. Which club was that?
It was called the Jazz Cafe.
The Jazz Cafe. Fantastic.
It burnt down.
Yes. Too bad about that. And I wasn't around when that happened, so.
That's a good thing. I think they were looking at you for that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And now you can do like a Michael Jackson cafe or something.
That's a great idea. You want to prepare up with me with that?
Yeah, no, I think Robbie is the man there. Just have him play there. Already.
You can do that.
On weekends, anyhow. Very nice. And your name is?
My name is Richard.
Richard.
Yes.
Nice to meet you, Richard.
My
Richard.
Wife, Sarah.
Sarah, how are you, Sarah?
Good.
Hi, how are you?
She won the quiz on our... Yeah. We came to see...
About 4 years ago, I won the, yeah. won the quiz.
Did you get all your stuff?
Yes, it was awesome.
Good. Thank you. You're the first person who said that.
Excellent.
Awesome is not usually associated with our prizes because we don't have, like, the big cash prizes. How do we do it? You know, because that's why I give away the answers, because there's no point in, you know, for these quiz, you know, lawn ornaments for the most part. For years, we gave away lawn, the little bendy over lady with the polka dot pants. And that was us. That was my innovation in public broadcasting. First time that was offered on the public airwaves, little bendy over lady with polka dot pants. You don't see those in. Yes, I'm sorry.
Here's a card for you, and I thought that there would be this big box that you put cards in, sort of like at a wake.
Well, we should have had one of those boards with little pictures of me in various poses. We got the big ones, and one is down already. So, thank you very much. That's very very kind of you. Rob Starbuck is here, and who's the early morning guy here in Madison? Rob, are you still here? Yeah, it's bedtime, Rob. Go home. That's what Tim Krieger is saying here. How can Rob Starbuck still be awake? He stood. He's awake. That was you. Okay, yeah. No, that's pretty amazing. What time do you get up usually, Rob?
1:30. Oh.
No, what time do you get up? Not 1:30 is not the answer. Yes. Your wife is Joy Cardine, that's why you get up at 1:30? Well, I guess that explains something. I don't know exactly what, though. How will the corn yield be this year? Well, we've got the corn agronomist here with us, Joe Lauer from Wanakee. And how is the corn? It looks good when you drive around. There seems to be all kinds of it. Well, come on down here, will you, Joe Lauer, corn agronomist. Are you strictly corn, or are you soybeans on the side? You never wanted to go into ornamental vegetable, Brussels sprouts, or?
No, just corn.
It's always been corn for you.
Well, not always, but the last 16 years, 17 season here. So.
All right, but before corn, what was there?
Well, I was in Wyoming, and.
I don't think that's the right answer to that question.
So they don't grow a lot of corn there, but they barley and sugar beets.
So you were in the sugar beets before corn?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Were you as in love with sugar beets as you now are with corn?
Oh, corn's much better.
Okay. All right. What first attracted you to corn?
It's one a very unique plant. It's
like the tasseling out thing.
Well, yeah. Cool. Yeah, that's neat.
Do school kids still in Wanakee go out and detassel?
Yeah, that's a big part of producing corn seed and breeding corn, yeah.
Producing students in Wanakee, really. That's got to do that for credit, I think, right?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Why do they detassel them?
Well, that's...
So they can't have sex? Is that the idea, that you don't want your corn... Because it's hybrid, and you don't want to breed them with other lowbreds.
No, they need... They need to have sex in the field.
We have to talk this way in front of my anniversary crowd. Joe, I know you're a corn agronomist, but are you a corn apologist as well?
I was afraid of this.
How is this? Well, you asked the question, and I am definitely, because you drive around, and it seems like it's higher than an elephant's eye these days.
Right. We're having
a good year.
We're having a great year this year. The initial yields came out, and it's six bushels past the record. So.
Can you ever have too much corn?
Not lately.
A corn glut? Are you worried about a corn glut?
Not. We can handle most of it.
What if there's too much corn? There's no place to put it. What do you do with it?
Well, we can. There's
shoot it from guns.
Right now,
popcorn.
Right now, there's a lot being used for ethanol.
Ethanol. Okay. Well, that's very good. And are you in that end of it too?
Not really. I'm more on the farmer end, just helping produce it.
So, I mean, when you say you help produce it, what do you actually walk out in the fields and advise the farmers?
Well, kind of. We do research. In the field, and then
you do any work out there? You say you help. You're not actually out there furrowing and whatever they have to do.
I have a good crew, but then in the wintertime we do a lot of educational programs.
Okay, so you stay out of the field actually in field work. I'm saying that's the benefit of going into being a corn agronomist, as opposed to being a corn farmer.
I do my share, but
you got to plant and harvest the stuff, and then you got to blow it up into those silos and all that stuff.
Yeah, well, they do all the work for sure, but we do our share with what we do.
All right, well, you're doing a good thing. You're wearing a shirt and everything with Wisconsin Corn Growers Association. Very nice to meet you. I'm glad it's a good year, and it's a good year for corn agronomists as well, obviously. You're doing very well. Go back and sit down now. Try to forget about this. I'm very much in favor of corn. Linda, will I ever get a life? Linda, where are you, and can we help in any way? I don't. Oh, hi, Linda. What's the matter, honey? What is it?
Well, my friend asked me that question earlier because I couldn't figure out a question. So when she asked me, won't you ever get a life? You can't even think of a question. I thought,
okay.
Ask that.
Actually, you have a life.
No, I don't.
Well, what sort of a life is it that you would like to have that you don't?
I don't know. You've got to figure that out.
Well, I don't know enough about you.
Neither do I.
You know, we'll come back to this, I think. I can see this is not something I can just glance over and think I'm done with it. This is going to come back and haunt me, I think. Yes, okay. You know, okay, well, it's nice to meet you, though.
Yes, nice to meet you. Yes,
okay. You look well. You look very nice. And you look like you have a life. Yeah, I could swear. I would say this is one with a life if I saw you. Do you remember the details of around your last taxi fare? Morgan McKenna? Machina. Were you my last taxi fare? I don't know. Were you in my taxi ever?
No, I just heard rumors that you were a taxi driver before.
Yes, you heard that. In Madison. No, here. I'm a legendary cab driver. I'm the phantom cab driver. I keep driving around, not picking up fares. But I used to flee from fares. That was my cab driving experience. And if this goes south, like if 25 is it, I still have my taxi license. Yeah, to fall back on. So, yeah, I thought maybe you were in my cab. They can't hear what you're saying, so.
I came here in
No, just write me, will you? Write me a... or email me. Look, go backstage, get my email, and we'll talk about this. Did you drive cab ever?
No, I had a lot of friends that I played poker with.
You played poker with who were cab drivers. Yeah, that's not a coincidence, I'll tell you the truth. All right, we're going to play another round of the What Do You Know quiz because, you know, only one guy got a chance last time, and so that's not fair. I don't think that's fair. Is that fair? That's not fair. What, you? You brought a book to read and I'm supposed to pick you? What is that book you're reading? Huh? Why are you holding the book with your finger in the spot that it was at? How would you know where his spot was? All right, come here a second. You don't need a life, do you? Because I got one here I'm trying to... You could have her life and she could take yours and it would... Yeah, win-win. How are you?
Great. I'm great. Thanks.
You were holding his. Why were you holding his book?
That's my son's book, and I tend to hold his book for him.
It's a big book.
It is.
What is he reading there?
There's some fantasy book. I don't know.
The Gathering Storm fantasy. What kind of science fiction or? I don't know. What is fantasy?
I don't know. Okay. I don't read.
I remember having them. I don't remember what they were. But I don't think they were good necessarily for a mother to be indulging her son in.
What? Nothing.
Your finger in his fantasy book is not is not what we like to see.
No, actually, 10 years ago, we came, and he was much younger, and he brought his Harry Potter book, and you started the show and came in and talked to him about it.
Oh, I did.
Yes, you did.
And it led to this, did it?
There
are even a larger book now. That's like twice Harry Potter.
I said to him, you can't bring a book, and he said, why not? I did last time.
Yeah. And it's fans. Why is the band playing a number? Have we gone off the air without telling me? Yes. Oh, no, go ahead, John. It was good.
They're very good.
So what is your name?
My name is Nancy Cadigan.
Nancy, and Nancy, give me one good reason you should play this quiz.
Because when I was here 10 years ago, my sister and I made a bet who would get to play, and then you talked to my son, and you didn't talk to either my sister or myself. So
I'm so sorry.
It's my turn now.
Nancy's turn. It's her turn, ladies and gentlemen, with Nancy Cadigan. And now here is your host, Nancy Cadigan. Come up this way, if you would, Nancy. Okay, have a seat there. If you would, this water, I think it's untouched. I don't think Andy had that.
Okay.
Put my little get-well quick card there. 25 years, and I hope you recover from that. Yes. Okay, you okay with that, Nancy? You should have thought about the headphone problem that you would have if you ever got on the quiz, because it's
there you go.
You don't really need them unless you actually want to hear
the
show.
Hearing is good.
Yeah, hearing is not a bad thing. So what field are you in, Nancy, or what endeavor?
I'm actually career changing. I was in IT for 30 years, and now I'm trying.
Was there IT 30 years ago?
Yeah, there was, actually. now I'm a student, and I'm trying to get into pharmacy school.
Pharmaceuticals?
Yeah. Okay. I'm a farm tech now at Mercy Hospital in Dubuque.
Oh, well, how wonderful. So Dubuque is where you live?
Yep, currently, yep.
We're going to be out there, you know.
Oh, really?
You could wait till we came to you.
Well, both times I've come here to Madison.
And where's your sister? Is she here?
She lives in near Chicago.
Oh, so she couldn't make the trip?
She didn't even know about it.
She didn't?
We didn't invite her this time.
Do you communicate with your sister?
I do. Ever? I love my sister, Sharon Cadigan, very much.
You know, you got your headphones are pointing outward.
Oh, that's why I can't hear.
They should point towards your head. So you can.
Oh, now I can hear in both ears.
No, I do the same thing, and I'm a seasoned radio professional. I'm just saying if you're wondering why.
It's amazing. That works better that way.
Well, very good. And how's that going? Pretty good?
Yeah, pretty well.
You like pharmaceuticals?
You know, professionally, yes.
Yes, of course. That's the only way I look at them. This is for the profession, you know. And
exactly.
Yes. Okay. And Nancy, someone out there plays along with you. You know how this works. And
yes.
This is something you've been waiting for all these years.
Yeah.
And so it's a big thing.
This is an encore performance, so don't call today, but save your call for another time.
Okay. Here's another one, a little audio clip here. From current events, 1985. Riding the top of the charts throughout 1985, this artist lowered his standards somewhat for this song. We all know who the artist is, and this is one song that never did climb the charts, but we all know the artist who did this particular number. Yes, that's the non-hit I Wanna Be Your Underwear from 1985 by an artist who actually had a lot of hits that were somewhat of a higher caliber. Not by much, frankly, personally, but that's just a personal opinion. Let's go to the phones right now and find out if they know who that artist was, a big artist in 1985. George is on the line from Superior. How are you, George?
The only thing I can think of is Boy George.
Boy George. No, it would have been a good fit for him. I want to be your underwear, but I'm afraid that wasn't it. Thanks, though. That laugh there, you know. Deborah's in the UP overseas.
Hi.
Hi, Deborah.
Hi, Michael.
How are you?
I wrote a poem for you while I was waiting on the line.
Oh, let's hear it then.
Want to hear it? Okay.
Sure.
Let's see here. Michael Feldman has a show. There isn't much he doesn't know. Let me see here. Oh, I can't read it now. I just wrote it.
Okay.
He's from Wait a minute. It was in Milwaukee. He got his start. He sounds a lot like Bob Newhart.
Oh, that was a close one.
There isn't much more I can say, but have a happy, wonderful anniversary.
Whoa, isn't that sweet, Deborah?
That's the best I could do in 3 minutes.
I probably, you know, would let you play even if you didn't know that was Brian Adams doing.
Brian Adams.
What?
That was
yes, Brian Adams. That's right. Holy cow. I want to be your underwear.
He wouldn't do. He wouldn't dare do anything.
That's
like
on
that.
The best of.
I'm thinking Weird Al Yankovic.
Yeah. No. Well, it's a good thing we didn't ask that. Deborah, you qualified for the quiz. Congratulations with your poetry.
Oh,
first time
thank
that's
you.
Been done. That was so good for spur of the moment, too. Deborah, this is Nancy.
Hi, Nancy.
Nancy.
Hi,
Deborah. Nancy, this is Deborah. What do you do up there in the UP, Deborah?
I'm a horticulturist. I do gardening.
Oh, you do?
Yep.
Okay. What do you horticulture?
I love anything. Everything. Trees. And
corn?
Garden.
You like corn at all?
Nope.
Oh, too bad. I got a guy here I could hook you up with, and he's just...
I like corn, but I don't like growing it.
No, okay.
It's not attractive enough.
I found it very attractive, actually. A nice field of corn is very attractive to me. That's just me. Deborah and Nancy, you are a team. Jim Packard, what are the categories?
Categories of current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, or odds and ends.
Okay, Deborah, you pick the first one.
Odds and ends.
Odds and ends could be anything, yes. Badgers, once again, since we are here at UW. Are badgers among the 9 states with adult obesity over 30%, or leave us alone already?
I think, over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm afraid you're wrong. Actually, we are at 26% and holding. I'm sorry for you, but I'm happy for us. Yeah,
I'm happy for us also.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we're plummeting. We're plummeting. The UP, I don't know, is it going pretty good up there as far as that goes?
Well, we don't have as many cows, so I'm thinking there's not as much ice cream, but...
Okay. Okay.
No, right. One wrong.
Oh, what's left there, Jim?
Current events, people, places, school, or science.
Nancy?
Places.
Places, okay. Well, this is a comeback trail here. We're going to do it. Number one town for dogs. Is it Fort Bragg, California, Madison, Wisconsin, or Provincetown, Massachusetts? Rated the number one town for dogs. This is a poll of dogs.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I'm guessing Madison, since we're here in Madison.
Well, that's...
That would be, you know, the logical thing, but I could have thrown you
a curveball.
Thank you, Jim, for finishing my sentence. Surprisingly, we're not married, and yet you do. or Provincetown, Massachusetts.
No, maybe Massachusetts.
Provincetown, Massachusetts, yay! Yes. Oh, I'm sorry, Deborah, unless you disagree.
No, I agree.
Yes, Provincetown. Madison is number 3, though, actually. So that's pretty good. But, you know, it's not the top. And
one right, one wrong.
Okay. What's left there, Jimmy?
Current events, people, school, or science?
Deborah?
Science.
Science it is. All right. At the University of Wisconsin, research in this particular field of stirring of the oceans. The question is, how much of the stirring of the ocean is caused by all the little thingies swimming in it? As you know, the ocean is always moving. Is it because of all those things? Is it a third, a half, or no one's ever measured it?
Oh, someone has got to have measured it. They measure everything.
Okay, so a third or a half of the stirring in the ocean caused by the little thingies in it.
A third?
A third?
I'm thinking that. That sounds good.
A third is right, yes, one third. And that was studied here in the math department. Once again, it's higher math.
There you go.
Higher math.
Two right, one wrong.
Discover that. And so what's left there?
Current events, people, and school.
Okay.
Let's go with school.
School, and something you should have learned, had been paying attention, physics. Physics for Freaks, my big course here in physics at the University of Wisconsin, 1969. Physics for Freaks. When throwing a projectile from the roof of Bascom Hall, the equation VG equals VG0 minus GT. Will calculate what?
Can we ask that physicist you talked to earlier?
That's a great idea.
I have no idea what those those letters and numbers meant.
Okay. Velocity, I guess.
Velocity, okay.
Yeah.
Gravity.
So what's the question again?
Yes.
When you throw velocity, something off gravity. A roof.
Throwing a projectile, what is that formula there actually calculate?
I like how far it's going to go.
Yeah, and how fast it's going to hit the ground.
Jim?
Yes, of course.
Yes, we can accept that. Velocity and impact over time. Congratulations. You pass physics for free, and you win the quiz.
That's right. Deborah, you and a companion will come down to Milwaukee for a performance at the Pabst Theater, National Historic Landmark of Beauty and Opulence, operating continuously since 1895. And for sustenance, come to Madison and enjoy the Portobello restaurant, known for its pasta, homemade Italian dinners, pizza, Portobello, steaks, and seafood for over 40 years. Nancy, you've won not one song, not two, not 10, but 2,500 songs of your choice to download from BroadJam.com, one of the world's largest websites for independent music, and then pamper yourself with a night stay at the Arbor House Bed and Breakfast, an environmental inn on the National Historic Register, located across the street from the UW Arboretum. Originally known as the Plow Inn, where guests in the 19th century could plow in and stagger out. And both of you will also have as souvenir a miniature of the iconic Union Terrace chair from the Wisconsin Union Terrace Essential Store, along with a fashion statement red and white baseball shirt celebrating 25 years of What Do You Know, the much-coveted Feldmingo Silver Jubilee Quarter, a Jubilee patch of the quarter to sew on your college blazer, and the runaway hit CD compilation distillation, The First 25 Are the Hardest, featuring cover art by Nora Feldman of Michael as Miss Liberty poking through the ice of Lake Mendota. Congratulations to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you so
Thanks,
much.
Nancy. Thanks for joining us
Thank
again.
You.
Tickets are on sale for a live What Do You Know show from the Gallagher Blue Dorn Performing Arts Center in Cedar Falls, Iowa, on September 8th. Get yours by calling 319-273-4TIX or follow the links at iowapublicradio.org.
Madison finally has a gastropub. And now we're going to find out what that is. Would you welcome, please, from Gray's, the executive chef, Tori Miller.
Thanks, everybody.
How are you?
I'm pretty good.
Ooh, and look at this. This looks like a picture. This is an actual burger, but it looks like a picture of a burger. It is that perfect.
Yeah, that's our Gray's burger.
Yeah, the Gray's burger. Oh, and here's the cake, too. Okay. Well, there's dessert. The Gray's burger. Now, let me just ask you about this gastropub concept. What is that?
Gastropub is something, obviously, new to Madison, but it's something that kind of originated in England and in Great Britain. It's called a little bit, you know, they're more dingy, I guess, and a little bit more grimy than what ours is. But nowadays,
it's a dingy place to eat.
Yeah, not our place, but nowadays, here. What it is all about is a place that has really great focus on the food and you know, really great drinks, really great wine lists, things like that. But also really great beers on tap.
Dingy is not required.
No dingy actually. Yeah.
So the gastro stands for. Gastronomy.
For the gastronomy part.
And the
of
pub
it.
Is for the liquor. So
exactly.
That's a good set of.
Because we like the booze too.
We call them a tavern usually.
Yeah, I usually call them a taverino, actually.
A taverino. Now, is this at all part of the slow food movement? Or does it take a long time to get served? I'm asking.
No. We do some slow food cooking, but slow food is more of a movement and a mindset. So it's really about becoming more of a. Co-producer as opposed to just a consumer.
And you're saying you don't have that mindset, or you do?
I do have the slow food mindset, actually.
Oh, you do? You have the mindset.
Yeah.
Don't have the food.
No. I don't have the slow food, no.
You don't have the slow food. It has,
the slow has to be, service, anyway.
Everything has to come from between here and Interstate 90.
Yeah, anything that isn't from Wisconsin, we consider imported. So,
yes.
If it comes, we have some imported prosciutto, but it doesn't come from Italy. It comes from Iowa.
So that's considered, you import from Iowa.
Yeah, the Iwegian import prosciutto. It's delicious, though.
And how is it? Does it compare?
Fantastic.
With the,
fantastic. I'll put it up. I'll take the Pepsi challenge against any of the Italians with that Iwegian stuff. Yeah, it's pretty great.
What about in Hong Kong, the Italian?
Oh, I don't know about the Hong Kong Italian movement for food.
That's something we're thinking about.
Yeah,
What is the Gray's burger, what makes it special?
Well, Gray's the whole concept.
It's looking absolutely perfect. That's perfect.
Gray's, the whole concept behind it is that I want people to
is
do...
Is this edible or is this a model of a burger? It looks like a model.
I thought about bringing some of that plastic food, but... Oh, yeah, help yourself there. Yeah, so what we do with the Gray's burger, we grind our own meat, but for the Gray's burger, we use specific cuts. So we do it all in-house. It's short ribs... ribeyes and sirloin. So we grind that all together, and then actually I have this awesome baker named Ellie, and she makes the buns.
The buns are unbelievable.
Yeah, it's a little brioche bun, and then we have a red wine sauce.
Lovely.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Mm. I love this gastro stuff. Yeah.
So the idea...
cool idea. And then what we got here?
This is the pastrami. We do a little sweet and sour cabbage. It's some smoked beef. We have the homemade rye bread. Just dig right in there. A little mustard. Yeah, it's awesome. Hmm. It's my favorite. It's actually the best pastrami I've ever had, and it's not made with brisket. It's made with the tongue. So it's beef tongue.
Oh.
Yeah. So... and, you know, it's... See, you guys saw that he really enjoyed it until that part.
I know.
And it is really delicious.
That's why the chef should always stay in the kitchen and not mingle.
This is
you don't get out and mingle with the diners, do you?
No,
you know that's tongue, you know, because you
Most people that order it know that it is tongue. But,
okay. Well, I didn't know that, did I?
Yeah, no. Well, you didn't order it either.
It was quite delicious up until that point. And this cabbage is
It's a local sweet and sour cabbage. We make it just with wine and brown sugar.
Yeah, okay. And then here we have...
This is one of my favorite sandwiches. It's a banh mi sandwich. It's a Vietnamese kind of French fusion that has a pate on it, some ham, and some homemade pickles.
And some sweetbreads, right?
No. This one is on a homemade baguette, again, from Ellie. It's really awesome stuff. And spicy mayonnaise.
Oh,
I really like all
those
mixes of flavors.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, you got to have the pickles. And
I never use that word.
You got to have the
pickles. But this is wonderful. Is that chopped liver on there?
It is. It's actually equal parts chicken liver and ground pork, and we kind of slow cook it. Yeah.
Well, I'm not spitting it out, but see, once again, all right.
But, you know, For Graze, what our concept is that we want people to do just that. We want you to graze through the menu. We don't want you to get, like, big, giant, huge portions. And, you know, we want you to leave feeling happy and knowing that you've, you know, supported local farms.
Leave feeling happy, but just leave.
Right? Yeah, but, thanks for coming, basically.
Were you you're the chef at L'Etoile as well?
I'm also the executive chef and owner of L'Etoile, too.
Yes.
With my sister, Tracy, and my other business partner, Diane Christensen.
Yeah, and that's still going as well.
Yeah. And my sous chef there is actually a huge fan of yours. He wanted me to bring his bobblehead and his board game to get you to sign it.
Yeah.
His name is Pete Kelly. I had to give him a shout out.
Okay. Hey, Pete.
Yeah. Hey.
Cool. Cool. And where were you trained, actually?
I trained at the French Culinary Institute in Manhattan, New York.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. And I worked at a lot of great restaurants out there. And then I was born in South Korea, but I was raised in Racine, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And, I've always loved cooking. I've been in restaurants my whole life. And, you know, it just kind of made sense to move back and,
Well, it's absolutely wonderful. Everything here is absolutely wonderful. And even knowing that that's tongue, I would eat that.
Thank you very much.
So it's fantastic.
I appreciate that.
Gray's right here. You're in the Glass Bank now?
We're in the U.S. Bank building down on the square.
Yeah.
Yeah, open all the time.
One South Pygmy, if you're in town there, that's where it is. You can't miss it. Thank you very much,
Thank
Torrey.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Torrey Miller,
congratulations
executive
again.
Chef. Thank you. From Gray's. Anybody want the rest of my tongue? Thanks, Torrey. Oh, the cake. Oh, we'll cut that cake. Yeah. You want to cut it? You can do the honors, Michelle. I have to cut the cake? What do? I have to do everything around here? Yeah. You can. No, I want to see you cut the cake. You're much more attractive cutting a cake than I would do. And then we can pass this around legally? We can? Okay, good. Do we have plates? What happened? Oh, the second portrait fell, ladies and gentlemen. I don't see meaning in that. Why do you? We're cutting the cake here. We'll pass this around. So just... It's been 25 years. You can wait a few more minutes. Ooh, it's a lovely cake indeed.
To find out more about Michael's books, CDs, board game, and other show merchandise, click on notmuch.com or call our hotline at 1-800-WHA-KNOW. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? Silver Jubilee is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer international. Todd Witter, producer. Assistants from Lyle Anderson, Judith Heisey-Kavalik, Diana Cook, Maggie Carpenter, and Michelle Good, with technical direction by Tom Blaine and help from Aubrey Ralph and Brad Kohlberg. Special thanks for making our Silver Jubilee celebration possible. Go to
the Kawai in Farley's House of Pianos for use of the Shigeru Kawai Artist Grand Piano. Also, Craig's Cake Shop in Verona, AJ Prestige Limited, that Dolman Campus Inn, Portobello Restaurant, and the Union Cab of Madison Cooperative. Mike?
Thank you all for joining me here at the beautiful Memorial Union Theater here in Madison, Wisconsin. Thanks so much for 25 years. I promise you another 18 months at least. Thanks for coming. Thanks for listening. Talk to you again next week. Start of the 26th year. Oh, go ahead. You don't have to stand. Don't make Rob Starbucks stand. He's got to get up.
Michael and the gang head to the Red River Valley for a live What Do You Know show from Festival Concert Hall on the North Dakota State University campus in Fargo on October 20th. Tickets available now by calling 701-231-7969 or click on prairiepublic.org/radio. Our next live shows in Madison are September 22nd and 29th at Monona Terrace. Tickets at notmuch.com or by calling 608-262-2201. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer, International.
PRI, Public Radio International.